On today's episode of Rise, Grind, Repeat, we talk to Clay from Speakeasy Sales Copy. Catch up from the last episode and talk about how he's rebranding his business. Let's dive right in. Clay, thank you so much for joining another episode of Rise, Grind, Repeat. Again,
I know. I can't believe I'm back. Round two.
No, I love it. I'm excited to catch up. I mean, we're doing a little bit before this, but man, it was 5 months ago we did the episode. It's amazing how much has happened in here. It's been amazing to watch how much you've grown. Just personally, you got, you know, personal things going on. I don't know if you've told the world yet, but cool to hear there. But then even on the business side, it's amazing how quickly you're growing. And I just can't wait to hear all about the journey and kind of where you're at.
Yeah. And, you know, it's shocked me as much as I think it's maybe shocked outsiders. It's still not perfect. Like, the journey still isn't perfect. I want to be very clear that still making mistakes, still growing, still failing forward, all of that. But it's been an awesome 5 months on my own since I left Petco. And yeah, personally, professionally, a lot going on, all really good stuff. So excited awesome. To share.
Awesome. Well, what are some of the cool highlights that you've had before we get into kind of the nitty gritty in terms of process and things that you've uncovered in your business, learned from and everything like that?
Well, I know where you want me to start. I can see it in your eyes. So my wife's pregnant. So my wife, Kelly's pregnant. We're really excited about that. Don't know gender yet. Was quite a shock to me. Actually, I found out the last time I was in here filming the day I got home.
Really?
So yeah, so you guys were some of the first to know, actually. And I'll just have to check with Andre before we put this out because it isn't public yet. But my wife's pregnant, due in September. So that's the big personal news. Yeah. The professional news is really, you know, business is growing. A lot of new clients, a lot of clients sticking with me, learning the right and wrong things to do. A lot of new learnings with copywriting, what's working right now. Worked with you guys some, so we probably have some exciting stuff to share there as far as what is and isn't working. And then for me, I joke that I'm rebranding the brand I don't have, which means 5 months ago, I was working on a brand because right now it's still the case. I have a lot of clients. I would say my business is successful, but it's still a freelance business. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to actually build this into a brand and a business. And so I had taken steps to name a company, get a website, working with a mentor. You know, I'm very thoughtful in everything I do, probably to a fault. So I picked out like the exact colors, the logo, everything I wanted for this brand I was building. And I just realized as I got deeper into it that I wasn't loving it. I wasn't proud of the name. I was hesitant to put it out there. Like, I couldn't wear it like an honor badge.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those times where normally you're trying to speed up. I was like, let's slow down for a second, because before I put anything out there, I do want to bless it. I want to feel good about it. It's got to feel authentic, genuine, yep. All that stuff. And I was close, but I wasn't there. So I've since changed the name to Speakeasy Sales Copy. So hopefully by the time this
That's
is out
catchy.
There, yeah, I'll tell you all about it if you want, but talk your ear off. But hopefully that'll be out soon, April 2021 for sure. And I'm just getting clear on, you know, what this business is going to be, what this brand's going to look like, how I'm approaching teaching copywriting, because I should probably rewind. But the biggest thing is, like, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing it successfully for a long time with household names. And now I've switched to entrepreneurs and small businesses because I've gotten out of big brands and I got sick of like making the rich richer, right? And I want to help small businesses and entrepreneurs. And to me, the best way to help them is to teach them how to write their own sales copy, versus them spending a fortune on me or somebody else, or wasting their money on a freelancer, you know, run-of-the-mill person who doesn't actually know what they're doing. So I'm trying to really arm entrepreneurs and business owners with the skills I have so they can create high converting copy, get more engagement, leads, and sales. And to do that, I'm going to use Speakeasy Sales Copy. See how it's coming together. Yep. And that's kind of the next evolution for me. I'll continue to have my freelance writing business. I'll continue to do DIY copy and ghostwriting, or done for you copy and ghostwriting. But I'm already on the higher end of cost, yeah, as you know. And I think moving forward, that rate will go up because I want to almost force the right clients to learn it themselves. I'm going to help make it easy and seamless, and I'm going to make it work. So that's the big news for me, is this new intention with Speakeasy Sales Copy. I'm running a contest for the logo on 99designs right now. The designers already hate me because, again, I'm so just every color has to have meaning. It's not just
in the slap together.
It's how I do everything. It's like, I don't want to throw yellow on there if that yellow doesn't have some meaning to it. Right. So anyways, more to come April 2021. But that's the big thing for me is this next phase of business for me is transitioning from just done for you sales copy for big brands, small businesses, entrepreneurs to this other wing of the business, which all run. And that's going to be all about a system, a step-by-step system of teaching you how to write, what to write, and how to do it well so it actually sells.
No, I love it because I think that's where a lot of people admit it's love working for the corporations, but I want to help small businesses. And it's like, I want to render the services. And it's like, you're really good. That means you're really expensive. And most small businesses can't afford that. So I think the approach that you're taking is spot on. Teach them how to fish. They'll then catch the fish, grow into, you know, a bigger business. And maybe you can open up another facet of the business that is that corporate type of copywriting and really help people out. And you definitely are great. I will say, you know, you sent us some email copy and we're doing a lot of outbound. We've been doing a lot of testing and literally the response rates went from 1% up to 10%. So you literally 10x the response rates and the responses that we were getting went from stop emailing me to, yeah, I'd like to engage in conversation. And even the people that said stop emailing, they appreciated the content and what was written. It was just good. And this is well written, but we're just not ready right now. We're not ready for marketing, whatever it may be. So your talent is tremendous. And with that brings a lot of value. And it's tough to really cater to that small business. So I think the way that you're going through it is huge. One thing I do want to ask is the rebranding and everything like that. At what point did you feel uncomfortable? Was it that you brought it to a few other people that had either negative feedback or what was that emotion that made you? Because it's tough to put all this effort into doing it and then just to kind of scratch it or learn from it or whatever it may be. So what was that process to go from, I'm just not feeling it, to then the direction you want to go to?
Yeah, it was tough. So if we were rewind back to, I want to say last probably July-ish, I did a business building retreat over the weekend. And so I worked with a gentleman and his wife who their business is helping entrepreneurs build online businesses. Like they were the visionaries when like dial-up was still a thing, telling people the future's online. So I worked with the best of the best. And over the course of a weekend at a vineyard at this amazing retreat, you know, we came up with the name together. There's nothing wrong with the name. The previous name was Content Selling Machine, which is awesome. It's very clear what I was trying to do. But even in the moment, I wasn't super sold on it. And I kept telling myself, you got to move forward, imperfect action. And I still definitely believe that, you know, but long story short, I've done all the behind the scenes work. I'm literally weeks away from finally launching the website. I've been practicing getting like my own voice down. I've pushed myself to create my own copy because I hate doing it for myself, but I love doing it for everyone else, right? Like I've literally poured my blood, sweat, and tears into this. I've stared holes in the ceilings, you know, every night and everywhere I've gone for the past almost year now. And it came to the point where I was creating some assets for my business, specifically lead magnets to generate an email list so I can build my following and sell to them, which, you know, tip that you and I always talk about. I was like, you got to have an email list, you know? So I'm like, if these assets that I've just, you know, worked so hard on and I'm so freaking proud of, if these are about to be out in the world, I need to feel 100% confident in the name and the branding and everything needs to feel right. And when I finished those up, I just felt like the content was so great and what I'm about to share with the world, I believe in wholeheartedly. So I don't believe in the branding behind it. Yeah. There was just something that it was like an uneasiness in my stomach. And I looked back and I realized that I actually had already bought the domains for Speakeasy Sales Copy. So I'd already purchased the websites.
Did you come with that name before you went to the retreat or did it come after?
It came after at some point. My wife said to me at some point, you're like the speakeasy of copywriters. Uh-huh. And I was like, that's cool.
Yeah.
And I was like, that stuck with me. That's not enough meaning for me though. But then I started thinking about, you know, I've got this third floor office in the mountains where I work and it's kind of like hidden. You'd have to know to go there. The walls are navy and you'll see it on my Instagram. It's kind of moody to be creative. And I'm like, you know, there's a lot of elements here of a speakeasy. And then the other thing that stood out to me was like, I've worked with Petco, Marvel, Slim Jim, the list goes on. And I'm like, I've been hiding in like the shadows of these giants. And now I'm trying to like sneak out of the shadow, get the spotlight on me, right? And work with smaller businesses and entrepreneurs. So everything about Speakeasy just kept sticking with me. And then I just had this final moment of, I went on my GoDaddy account and I looked, and they value domain names. So they tell you what they think it's worth.
Yeah.
Well, Content Selling Machine, the previous name was worth like $300. And I look at Speakeasy sales copy and it's worth like $3,000. So I'm like, okay, people must be, some algorithm is saying this is valuable. So that kind of reaffirmed like objectively that it was the right move. And I went to, not to be too long-winded, but I went to post on social media. Like my last post was about how I'm hiring. Well, to hire on the job description, I had to put a business name. I did not want to put Content Selling Machine. There was something that didn't sit right with me. I wasn't proud. That was the basic thing. Like, I wasn't proud. I wasn't totally behind it. And I'm like, I know my business is going to do well. I don't want to have to rebrand a year from now. Like, I want to feel authentic, genuine, and proud of what I put out. And so the more I thought about Speakeasy sales copy and the more I thought about the meaning behind it, I was like, that's the route I'm going. So that's what led me here. It was kind of a lot.
No, I love it. I love the new name. I think it's, I think it just resonates. I don't know. It goes off the tongue. It rolls off pretty well. And I don't know. It just, your wife did a good job.
Hey, well, yeah, you know, Kelly Manley, shout out. But I agree. And I feel like, you know, it fits because a lot of the entrepreneurs and business owners, even businesses I work with, they can talk about their products and their services and their coaching. No problem. They're very comfortable talking about it. It's once they're behind a keyboard typing where things go awry. Mm. And so I felt like when you think about Speakeasy, it's like you can speak about it. I'm gonna make it easy to write the sales copy. And you just talked about the power of sales copy, but to me, that's the game changer. So I'm thrilled with the name. I've got the right colors picked out. Now I've got designers working on the logo. And I just can't wait for everyone to see it in April. Like, I went from being hesitant to launch because of the branding to, I'm thrilled. I can't wait for the world to see this, and I know it's going to do well.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I love the being able to identify that, just going with the feelings. And I mean, it's, you know, I preach a lot, you know, be quick with action. You know, the biggest enemy of good is perfect and everything, but there's still, doesn't mean just go out and just run with things if you don't feel comfortable. So I love the fact that you're doing it. And even if you get so deep into it, I think a lot of business owners don't weigh the opportunity cost and they go, well, I've already spent so much time, I have to keep going. It's like, well, you only spent 9 months, 12 months. If you're looking to do business for 20 years, that is nothing compared to the feeling you're going to have of regret of not going and changing your mind 10, 12, 13 years down the road. So to be able to identify that, make that move, all while, you know, the craziness going with the personal life, you're looking to hire, the business is growing. I mean, you're doing a good job of juggling, and I think it's going to lead to just more happiness. And ultimately, I mean, just even the name, I think it's solid.
I'm glad you approve. I was just thinking too, when I did decide to pivot, just to support what you were saying, when I did decide to pivot the name, I did it the same day. Like, I was like, I'm changing the name. I launched a contest on 99 Designs. I'd never even heard of it. I wrote a brief. I did everything that day. So I didn't let it slow me down. In fact, the contest ends like today. So I got to look at those logos, but point being, once I realized that I couldn't get 100% there, I was quick to move on and to make this move. And so, yeah, reinforce everything you say, imperfect action, and just, man, I'm just excited. I don't know how else to put it. I'm just thrilled about it.
No, that's awesome. And going back from like our previous conversation, I think we spent quite a bit of time on pain, gain, transformation, which was mind-blowing to me. I mean, I still try and figure out how to do it, and then I'll listen to the clip and I'm like, yeah, I'm nowhere near what Clay can do. But I mean, before this, you were kind of mentioning, you know, you kind of, you know, thought about it a little bit more. Are you still going down that route as kind of the strategy as you move forward with sales copy and everything, or what does that look like?
Yeah, so that was missing something. So I would say the crux of all good sales copy, in my opinion, if you really boiled it down, is this concept of pain, gain, transformation. So just to revisit that real quick, what I picture is there's three categories of your sales copy. If you can stack all three together, pain, gain, transformation, you're going to have high converting copy. In fact, I have no doubt about it. So when you look at, we'll start with pain. Pain is like what people avoid. That's called loss aversion. Like, there's actually a name for it. It's called loss aversion. Loss aversion can be two times as powerful as the opposite. So pain can be two times as powerful as gain. Now, you tell me someone who doesn't want double the conversions on their copy, right? So pain is really powerful, telling people what they can avoid. Gain, what they get, that's what every marketer, every junior copywriter, every intern can come up with. Like, that's obvious, and you do need it. You need it because it's clear and it's simple. And then transformation is, how does their life change? So that's like that before and after picture. Transformation is probably the money maker, but pain's pretty special. And like anything, you stack all three, and that's where magic happens. Now, what I didn't talk about last time would be the progression of that. So let's say I've got all three of these elements. I'm like, I've nailed pain, gain, transformation. How do I actually use this? One of the biggest challenges for any entrepreneur, business owner, or copywriter is flow. And nobody talks about it. Like, I feel like I might be the only person talking about it, which is, you may have the right words, you may have the right messaging, but if they're in the wrong order, it's still not going to work. And now you're spinning your wheels, rewriting something that doesn't need to be rewritten. It just needs to be shifted. So I came up with this framework for flow. Basically, what I tell people is, all good sales copy is going to fail without flow. The framework for flow is EFA. EFA. So E, lead with emotion. F, reinforce with function and logic. And A, end with action. EFA. So now let's rewind back.
All right. So we got pain, gain, transformation into it needs to flow, EFA.
Yep. And you can see I like threes. People learn in threes, which
like
is another tip.
I like it.
So EFA, when I say lead with emotion, a lot of people jump into their copy, or a lot of businesses jump into their copy, and it's all about the product and like what it does for you. And I'm more like, paint the picture of how their life's going to be different, which is basically that transformation piece from pain, gain, transformation. But start with the emotions. The easiest way to do that, write the word imagine down and just start writing what happens with their, with your product or service. So start with imagine, hit them in the heartstrings. People, and this is good. This is my favorite quote, right? People will buy on emotions, then they'll justify with logic. So they buy on emotions first and foremost, then they justify with logic. That leads to F. When I say reinforce with function and logic. So you've hooked them with the emotions. They want what you have. You've basically pre-sold them.
Yeah.
And then you get into F, this function. That's the logic, like how it works, why it works, all of that stuff that reinforces that they're making the right decision. And then easy. A, end with action. We end everything with a call to action. Tell them what to do. Tell them how to get your product, and boom. So you start with gain, pain, transformation. You work into EFA. You've already got the right messaging. Now you've got the right flow. And I mean, it doesn't work all the time. Like, I'm not perfect, right?
Yeah.
But for the most part, you can feel really good about what you're putting out there. And you can, which everybody wants, you can have confidence that like, I'm putting the best messaging out there. And if it doesn't work, it's my offer, or it's my product, or it's my design. It's not my writing.
Yeah. And then it just comes down to testing. I mean, it's you have that. Is it the landing page, the offer? I mean, there's so many different things to test.
Yeah.
But I mean, I love it because everyone wants frameworks. It's always like, you know, you can give them the right words the first time, but it's like, what was the strategy that you used to put these together? And I know that's your secret sauce, but I mean, that's what people want, so they can go and do it for themselves. I'm huge on examples. Is there, I guess, an example of what you kind of just ran through that can kind of illustrate that pain, gain, transformation?
Yeah. Let me give you
on the spot.
No, I'll give you a goofy one because it's goofy. It's different, but it's also going to illustrate EFA. And so let's start there. So I recently did a project for a company that sells, they sell flagpoles. They sell flagpole lighting. You know, that's a different audience.
How are you going to convey emotion into flagpoles? And so I'm excited for this.
Exactly. So when we think about, we'll just use any flagpole as an example, but let's say EFA. So let's say we're going to lead with emotion. So instead of telling them that they're going to be able to fly a strong flag and it's going to last in the wind or whatever, what I'm talking about is like, imagine going to bed at night and seeing the stars and stripes, like waving you good night. Or imagine every edge of that star glistening under the moonlight as you go up to your room each night, right in front of your driveway, right? Like right out front. It's almost like the stars and stripes are putting you to bed every night. And every morning when you wake up, there they are greeting you again. Like that's how you're a proud patriot. And so that's kind of the emotion, right? I haven't told you anything about the flagpole I'm about to sell. What I've told you and what I've sold you on is the emotion of the red, white, and blue is always there for you. It's always flying high. And you've now seen it when you wake up. You've seen it when you go to bed. That's pretty stirring.
Oh, yeah.
Then I go into reinforce with function. So now I'm going to tell you that it has a 95 mile per hour wind rating. I'm going to tell you why. So it never bends in the wind. Well, that's exciting. I'm going to tell you that the flag has double stitching in every corner so that it's going to last you forever. I'm going to tell you that the pole itself telescopes and it only weighs 20 pounds. So guess what? This thing's portable. If you want to take it out at night and respect flag code, you can, because you don't have the lights. I didn't know flag code was a thing until I wrote this, but you can move it around. If you move, it's always with you. Like, this is the last flagpole you'll ever need. So now I'm starting to hit that function. So I sold them on the stars and stripes. And I've sold them on that picture that they can almost see and feel. And now I've reinforced with function of all the things you'd actually want with this, all those features turned into benefits. And now I'm ending with action, which is some sort of urgency worked in there of, you know, right now, the best flagpole and the last flagpole you'll ever need is on sale for 10% off. Get it today and you're going to save $100. And it's like, boom, done.
It's the website. I want it.
Exactly.
You got me sold.
Exactly. So you work through that emotion, that function, that action. And then on the game pain transformation, you start working that in, which, by the way, is best for like bulleted lists, but it's like the gain. Well, the gain for me is that I'm always going to be able to show my patriotism and show how much I love this country loud and proud 24/7, 365, because this thing's sturdy. It's not going to break. It doesn't need painting. It's better than the rest. The pain. Well, there's several. One would be, let's say you have another flagpole. It's in concrete. This other flagpole is in concrete. It's not going with you anywhere. It's part of the house. It's not part of your life. This flagpole now, portable, 20 pounds, part of your life. That's a big difference. Also, there's a rule with flag code. I'm probably going too deep, but you have to have the flag lit if it stays up. So this flagpole comes with lights. Well, now you can leave Old Glory flying every night because she's well lit and she looks beautiful. And the founding fathers would be proud of what you have out there. So the pain is like there's less hassle. You don't have to take her in and out. You don't have to lug her in and out every day. There's no ropes and pulleys. It's telescoping. So you don't have to worry about knots. You don't have to worry about tearing your hands up. You don't have to worry about buttons that shear off. And then the transformation is kind of like, the founding fathers, if they saw this, they'd walk right up to your door and knock on the door and tell you good job. Like, you are a proud patriot and you can feel accomplished. You can feel proud. You can know that like your neighbors are going to be asking you about your flagpole because it is the best around and you are the best patriot like on the block. Yeah. Right. So you've gone from maybe disrespecting the flag, maybe not even knowing you're disrespecting the flag, or maybe not having a flag, but you really want to show your patriotism, especially during these tough times, to not only do you have a flag, you have the best flag on the block. It's going to be with you forever. Your neighbors are going to look up and know exactly who you are and what you stand for. Pain, gain, transformation.
That's amazing. And there's so much packed in there. I mean, to convey emotion, to hit on the pain points. I mean, that's something that we, you know, big in the marketing. What are the pain points that we can serve you a message that's going to start stirring those emotions and everything. So whenever we approach it, it takes a lot of market research to who are the audience segments that are going to be buying these flagpoles, who would be having flags at their house or business, whatever it may be. And so it's a matter of who are these people? What are their different pain points and why would someone want to buy it? So it takes a lot of research to come up with where are these audience consuming content? Are we going to be on Google, Facebook, YouTube, all this type of stuff? From there, are we going to be doing video? Like, there's a lot of research to figure out what is the best strategy to get in front of this particular audience that's ultimately going to drive them to take action for our clients. And that's putting more money in their pocket and driving sales. How do you go about this research phase? Because I mean, it could easily go, you know, you could try and get it done in an hour, but I mean, when it comes to research, I mean, you could spend hundreds of hours. I mean, how do you approach that to where you're not spending too much time, but you're spending enough time to get what you need, the ammo that you need to come up with great copy that's going to drive sales?
Yeah, you can research your way to oblivion, right? So so one, let's talk about research just real quick. In my world, I like the Abraham Lincoln quote that you've probably heard, which is, if I had 8 hours to chop down a tree, I'm going to spend 6 hours sharpening my axe. That's your research. When it comes to sales copy, you're going to spend way more, if it's good, you're going to spend way more time researching. And that's going to make writing the copy much easier. In fact, some of it will be done for you. So my shortcut to research is Amazon and Google reviews. And the best way to do it on Amazon is pull up all the competitive products you can find. Anyone who's in your space, look at the ones that have the most reviews because you know they're popular. Drill down, you can filter to the 1-star and the 5-star reviews. Look at what people are complaining about on the 1-stars. Find the common themes. What are the 3 to 5 things like everybody's complaining about? Go to the 5-star, look at the 3 to 5 things that everybody loves about the product. Turn those bad things, those negatives, into positives for your brand. Call out those pain points. So now you're going to convert them to come to you, right? You're going to literally steal from your competitors. And then all that good stuff, amp it up. Take it to another level. Copy is basically written for you and it's in your audience's voice. So 1-star reviews and 5-star reviews can write your copy for you. And that's going to shorten the research time a ton. In general, with research, what I tell people is go on Google, look at your competitors, look at analog brands, meaning brands that aren't in your category, but they are similar to you, maybe similar values, maybe a similar way of selling. Look at them and then just have some white space, a little bit of white space where you're just exploring around and you're seeing what's out there, and go until you have enough common themes, enough kind of threads driving you through till you feel like I've got enough to write. And you'll know when you hit that. It takes time, but the biggest thing for me is you group things that are common and you start to find these groupings of shared pain points, shared objections, shared positives. And when you have enough of them, you know, and you start writing. So that's how I do it. 1-star, 5-star, group them, go from there. And then if I have surveys, statistics, data, you guys have a lot of data. If I have that on my hands, of course, I'm going to use it. And sometimes that may help you cut the research time in half. So interviews are always good. Case studies are always good, stuff like that. But I keep finding myself going back to the reviews because it's in your audience's voice. You can't ask for much more than that.
100%. Because even if you ask someone to fill out a survey, they might, I don't know, they might say certain things that they want. Like it's the true emotion that you're getting. Like if someone's going to take the time to leave a review, that is the raw emotion that they have on what either drives them happy or drives them nuts. And it's like, there's no better source than the truth there. What is the audience saying who's actually buying these products?
Yeah. And it's a blank slate. You're not leading them into answering something. They can say whatever they want. And the nice thing too is if you look at those 1-star reviews and this is a competitive product, you know, people paid for that product, which means they have the money to come buy your product too. Same with the 5-stars, and you're finding what people like. And so you can just feel really confident. And I could spend hours trying to understand an audience's voice, but if I'm doing the reviews and the voice together, just by reading the reviews, then I'm cutting the time in half. So that's probably my number one strategy.
Yeah. I mean, between the research that leads to pain, gain, transformation, I mean, everything, you write killer copy. I mean, we've seen it firsthand. It is awesome. Obviously, that's going to fuel growth. It is tough to have expedited growth because it brings on other problems that it's building a business, which obviously you're kind of feeling. I've been seeing posts lately, you know, you want a videographer, you want another junior copywriter. So, I mean, there's a lot going on. You're rebranding, got a little one. I mean, I got to work hard to try and keep up with you. That being said, would love to kind of hear some of those pain points that you felt, you know, last 5 months. What were some of those pain points? What have you learned from them? Have you applied that to the business where you've seen it help you grow?
Yeah, man, a lot. But I think first off is, you know, I have financial goals and that's not everything, but it's a big part of what I want to do. And mainly because I left a cushy corporate job, I want to prove that this was the right move. Like financial is one way for me to measure that. So one of the things I realized was you don't need to spend a lot of time chasing new clients when you get more out of your current clients. So I've been making every effort to give more to my current clients and then get more of their business. At the end of the year, for example, I did an audit for most of my clients and I went through everything I wrote and I offered them some tips. Hey, if you spend a few months, here's what I would change. Hey, maybe this isn't converting as much as you'd like. Let's tweak this headline or tweak this subject line a little bit. All free, just to add some value, and they've paid for a premium service. Well, that started getting them to want more from me and to bring me more business. So that was one. I think I've realized you got to capitalize on momentum. I had a client that came to me with just one small email sequence project, probably smaller than I'd normally take on for a new client, but I already knew the space, so I was comfortable doing it. And as soon as I finished that, I was like, let's set up a kickoff call for your next project. kept doing that, kept getting more projects. I'm not sure they would have had more for me if I didn't just kind of put their feet to the fire, because everyone has grand ideas and everyone has needs. But once you tell them to commit to a time, right, you kind of lock them down, and that makes them move faster. They actually appreciate that. So that was a big shift, was like, stop trying to chase new business and start getting more from what you already have and the people you already love working with. Another thing for me was hitting my ceiling. So just last month, I closed a lot of new and existing business. Surprised myself, was thrilled. I think I texted you because I know you guys have had tremendous growth too. And I was like, you know, it's pretty eye-opening of what I could do. Mm-hmm. It was also challenging because it's going to take a lot of time to get that done. And I realized there's only so much I can do on my own. And I'd rather invest in scaling right now or scale early than have another month where I take on a bunch of business and then I'm kind of like slow for the next month or two. And so that's kind of what happened. I had a killer February, biggest business month of my life, even before my corporate jobs and all of that, like hands down. And I was really proud. And then I had to put my head down and get the work done on my own, which meant I wasn't posting on social media. I wasn't reaching out to my current clients, finding out what else they need. I wasn't looking for new business. I was just working on what had already come through the door, and it put me behind. And so what that did was it motivated me to post a couple part-time roles with me / my company, Speakeasy Sales Copy. And, you know, I definitely had some moments where I was like, can I afford to be paying someone already? Am I ready to add someone to the team? Do I have the time to train them? And I was like, look, dude, you had the best month of your life and you saw that it's possible. But to string together months like that, that's the magic, right? I can't do that on my own. So learning to scale early and being willing to take some risks and put more money into the business to grow it and to get some momentum and consistency is something I'll tell you if it worked. I'll know in a few months, but I'm feeling like it's the right decision now. So that was a big one. And then honestly, just getting better at my craft. Like, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. Not all my stuff converts to the way I'd like it to. I always, one thing I've been saying is like, I don't have a journalism degree. I have no like master's in journalism, no FMA. I've never sniffed a journalism course. Okay. I don't have any formal education in what I do. No advertising classes, no marketing classes, none of that. And if I gave like my fifth grade teacher something I wrote, it'd be covered in red pen. Like, I don't know the rules of grammar. I don't care about AP style. Yeah. I barely know what an Oxford comma is. And but the point is, but my stuff sells. Yep. So my stuff works. And so to me, it's been really accepting that those are my flaws and that they don't matter, because I get down on myself like, well, this guy's got an MFA in journalism, or this guy's got this or that. And I'm like, I'm doing just as well, if not better, and I'm doing it my way and it's working. So that was really like eye-opening and exciting for me, is I don't need all of that. I need to focus on what I do have and what is working. And then also I need to up my game. So every time I have a loss, or every time something, you know, doesn't convert the way I'd like to, I'm looking for, how do I get better? Will you let me rewrite this for you? Will you resend it with this subject line? What can we change? What can I do to make this work for you and for me, so I feel good about the product you got? And then also, what continuing education am I missing out on? What course do I need to go and take? I had a sales letter, which is, you know, a heavy lifting, high ROI project that, you know, I was feeling like my sales letters were getting stale, and I was feeling like they weren't converting like they could. And to make it in sales letter writing, you need to be getting royalties. You need to be getting paid big bucks, because they take a long time to write, right? And so I found a really exclusive sales letter writing course. I got in that. I said, screw it. I'll pay the few thousand dollars to do this, because I need to up my game there. And I did. And so for me, it's just continuing to find those opportunities. Even the way I teach and the way I put myself out there, like, I'm still finding my voice. You know as well as anyone, I don't really like posting on social media. I haven't had a website, and yet I've built this business, right? Yeah. And now I have to put myself out there. And so I'm realizing, well, here's how I want to teach. And if I teach it like this, it's going to make me better, because I'm going to learn from myself, right? And I'm going to apply it to my own stuff. So I just feel like I'm on this journey of evolving. I feel like everything I look back on, whether it was 3 months ago, a month ago, 3 minutes ago, I'm like, ooh, I got better. I already got better. Like, I'm looking back, I'm like, I would have done it this way this time. And that's how I know I'm growing and getting better. And that's been a big shift for me, is like there's so much room for improvement, and continue to seek that out, accept that, and get better.
Yeah. No, I love it. And I think identifying to delegate, hire early on, I think is a huge win, because I think what a lot of people try and do is go, I made a lot of money, let's keep trying to do this. And you get, you know, you can sprint for a little while, but you can't sprint forever. And I think that's what happens. You get that taste and it's like, well, if I hire someone, that's a couple more grand out of my pocket doing self-education. All of a sudden it's like, I broke even. Like, well, I want money. That's the reason why I'm doing this. But if you continue to do that, you get to month 4, 5, 6, 12, 18, you're gonna get burnt out. And then all of a sudden it's like, when you finally decide to bring people in, you just don't have that motivation, that desire, that excitement. So by being able to identify it early, it allows you to bring those people in, or do whatever it may be that is going to continue to scale the business. And I think that's a very hard decision for a lot of entrepreneurs and small business owners. What was what are the thoughts going through your head? What was the process you took, or what happened to go, you know what, I think it's worth taking a little bit of money out of my pocket, bringing other people on, that's only going to help me in 10, 20, 30 years, whatever it may be. It's very difficult. What did you go through to make that decision, or what was that aha moment to make you decide to go down that path?
Yeah, that's a great question. For me, it was getting a feeling of burnout, which is crazy to say, because again, I've only been on my own for 6 months, but I had this huge month in February. I started going through the work, and my goal is pretty much always to complete the projects I take on the same month I get them. Now, it's not always possible, but that leaves the door open to pick up new projects the next month and continue to grow. And so, you know, I'm at a point where I have enough retainer work. It's more about now building on top of that. I have my comfort zone and my safety net. And so I had that February. I had all this growth. I closed a lot of new business. I mean, again, just a huge month. And I started doing the work, and I was like, man, I already work long days like you, like 10, 11, maybe 12 hour days are kind of the norm. But it was like, no, I'm going to have to do that every weekend this month. And I might not see my wife today. And the cat needs to like go in the bedroom and leave me alone, because I gotta grind. And I just realized, you know, this isn't why I left corporate. And this isn't why I left like helping the rich get richer, and also like kind of being bossed around and being a micromanaged. Like, I left to do my own thing, and I love, love, love copywriting, but that doesn't mean that's what I want to do 14, 15, 16 hours a day. And I realized the work was then going to not be as good as what I'm capable of. And that bothered me. That if you are giving me your money, I want you to be floored. I don't want to deliver. I want to over deliver just like you. You even said to me, like, I want to make sure I always give you at least 1% more, right?
49.51.
Like, yeah, 49.51. And that sticks with me, because that's how you get people to come back. And like, we're in an industry where we want to help people make their dent in the universe. And so I was like, if I just worry about growing, if I grow at this speed and I take this amount of work on, somebody's not getting my best effort. And I'm also drowning in the workload. Mm-hmm. And so I just realized, if I did a month like this once, I can do it again. So I know I can hit these like income goals, and I know I can get the business. But if I'm executing on it my own, I'm never going to string those months together. My business will be up and down all around. Yeah. And granted, that's the nature of the business. I'm sure yours is like that, and that'll happen. But that's going to be a guarantee if this is how I operate. And I'm going to have 1 month where I'm getting new business. I'm going to spend the next month drowning in the workload. I'm going to pop back up for air, and I'm going to find out I got to go hunt down more business again. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was like, what's the worst that can happen? Yeah, I lose a little bit of money, but I have a little more happiness. I have a little more free time. The quality of work goes up. And then what's the best case? Well, the best case is I get the right people in the door. I help them get to my level and beyond. I also learn from them, and they become full-time employees. And this thing goes to the moon, you know? So for me, the upside is huge. The downside is very little, like in the grand scheme of things. A couple bucks over a couple months. Yeah. And again, I know what I can do on my own. So I know if it doesn't work out, I know what I'm capable of, but this will work out. It'll be good. And so that was it, man. It was me drowning. It was me just realizing where that ceiling is. And also just realizing I'm not going to sacrifice anybody's work to get somebody else's business. Not going to do it.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. And plus, when you start bringing people in, it's fun around the office. It gets kind of boring being, you know, working by yourself. You get some camaraderie going. You got some, conversations going, yeah. And it's fun. And I mean, it being able to, you know, allow someone else to have a livelihood and putting money in someone else's pockets. I mean, it's fun. And I mean, it's definitely part of the growing, but being able to identify that early, I think is huge. Cause to your point, you can get burnt out, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, time to go back to the corporate job. And there's a reason why you left it. And it's just ebbs and flows of happiness as well. And just your overall happiness of life.
Yeah. And I think you nailed it too, of like, this is going to sound a little corny, but it's like, I do care about the next generation, and I want to help like the next aspiring Clay Manley or Dustin Trout or, you know, some other marketer and copywriter be really good at what they do. I never had a course. I never had anyone teach me. I never had any mentoring. I didn't get into this until I was early 20s and already had a professional, really mid 20s, and had a professional career in fitness. And so I'm like, if I can get someone who's young, humble, and hungry, who's in school, they're already learning some of the latest and greatest. So I'm going to get a ton of value out of them. And two, I can help them up their game. Like, my hope is I can get someone who has a bachelor's in advertising and give them a master's just by working with me. So that's really exciting for me. And you're right. I want to celebrate the wins with someone. I want to get a second set of eyes on my own stuff. Right now, Kelly, my mom, a couple friends who are in writing will help me out, but I want someone on my team and where we're just fighting for the same thing. And they can learn from me. I can learn from them. And we just make each other better.
Yep. No, it makes it fun. One thing that you said that stood out, and it's something that I'm trying to work on, I've completely neglected it, but it's the continued education. Like, I've head down trying to, you know, do what I'm doing. But it's actually come up in the last, say, month and a half or so, where it's like, all right, well, what I'm trying to do is we're bringing on clients, is offload the account management so someone else can do it, so I can free up some time to work more with the team and do more of that continued education. How much has that helped or a part of your life?
So I was one of those people who always took on too much continuing education. Like, any personality test I take is like, you're a lifelong learner. Mm-hmm. And it's true. It's pretty eye-opening when you see it like on paper and you read the write-up and you're like, holy crap, that is totally me. And that's me with learning. And so what I realized was I take on too much of it and I don't get it done, or it doesn't stick, or I rush through it. And so I decided every month I'm just going to take on one what I call growth goal.
I like that.
Which is one piece or form of continuing education. I decide ahead of time, and that's the one personal development thing I'm going to take on for that month. And that's worked really well for me, because if it's one, it's doable. I have no excuse. I can get it done in a month. And, you know, for a couple months ago, it was the sales letter writing course I talked about. That was a game changer for me. Last month, I read a really famous copywriting book, Breakthrough Advertising. Not my cup of tea. I didn't get much out of it, but I was getting hit by that Facebook ad every day because I've been asking people about it. I've been thought about buying it. It's an expensive book. And so I'm glad I can say, hey, I read it. It wasn't for me, but now I know I was going to buy it at some point. This month, I'm reading Ben Settle's Copy Slacker, which is really hard to get your hands on. It's like 700 pages. And what I'm doing this month, which has been really nice for me, is as I'm reading it, I'm actually practicing everything it's teaching. So it's making me tremendously better. It's also helping me get clearer on how I want to teach copywriting and some of my frameworks and stuff. Now, EFA and campaign transformation, those are mine, but there are things I'm pulling from others and, you know, adapt and improve. So that's what I'm trying to do there. But having one focus has helped me a ton, and I get it done. I get it done well, and I feel good about it.
Yeah, no, I love it. And I think it's awesome because, you know, a lot of people try and focus on too much on the long-term 10-year goals, 20-year goals and all that. I mean, what are some of the things that you're working on from a personal, professional development in the next 1 to 2 months, but also for the business? I guess, what are some of the biggest goals here in the immediate future
on the business front? So for me, it's simple. I want to get to the point where I'm not doing any blogging. So blogs are great. Everyone needs them, but I would say they're low ROI. And so I want to have a junior copywriter who I can help make the best blog writer in the world. It's a great place to start. If I take the blogs off my plate, that allows me to focus on sales emails and sales pages, and ads, which on the other end are high ROI. Like, if you can do those well, trust me, you can do the blogs well. But if you can do those well, you're going to have clients banging down your door. Yep. So for me, I want to continue to focus there and focus on growing the business. while I have a junior writer get really good at the blogging side. And then I work them into helping me with my stuff, even editing my stuff for a second set of eyes and the opportunity to learn. And so that's kind of the writing piece. Now, the other big business goal for me is putting out more content. And I did like a 7-day challenge where I just woke up one day and I posted on Instagram that I'm going to post the next 7 days. I don't know why. It's just, yeah, I woke up and I did it, which is maybe how I operate. And it was really good and it made me really comfortable, but I'm up and down with it. And I've realized that the more I post, even though business doesn't directly seem to come from the social media, the more I post, the more business I get. And so I want to be really consistent with my content. With this brand coming out, my website will launch April 2021. I want to make sure when people find that and they find me, like, they're getting a lot of free value, good free value. So getting consistent with content is a big one. And then, you know, I've got financial goals I want to hit. This year, I really want to start taking on royalty projects. So I want to be writing sales letters that are paid, you know, based on royalties. So have some recurring income. Oh, yeah. And when you're at a very, very elite level, you can do that. And I feel like I'm starting to sniff that. So that's something I want to get to. What else for me? That's probably the big stuff. The royalties, the financial goals, launching the business, and running a focus group. You know, I'm going to launch the Speakeasy sales copy. The main product is going to be a step-by-step system to help entrepreneurs and business owners write their own sales copy. And that's got to get out there. Like, I've been talking about this and I'm ready. It's not perfect, but I'm ready to put it out there. So going to launch that. Ultimately, the way I look at it, Dustin, is I kind of have these phases spelled out of my business. So phase one, which I'm finishing up now, was the freelance copywriting and getting to a point where that exceeded my corporate income. Well, I've hit that easily. Phase two for me is launching Speakeasy sales copy and getting that brand and that business model out there. That is going to happen in April. Phase three is that becoming my primary income, right? So I'll still do copywriting for others, but the bulk of my business should be the instructing, the copy coaching. And then phase four, what I'm seeing right now is events. I'd love to get to a point where you're a really high level entrepreneur or business owner. Maybe you're transitioning online because of COVID. Maybe you're online and you know there's a next level you're not reaching. And we're going to work together, whether it be a day one-on-one or maybe a weekend in a group. And I'm going to lead you through that system, that Speakeasy sales copy system in person, so you can fly right through it. And that's kind of the ultimate goal for me. I love human interaction. I love kind of being on stage and presenting. And I feel like with the right people in the room in an event setting, probably somewhere in San Diego, near the beach and the mountains, which just happens to be where I live, we could really host something special because I want people to also experience Speakeasy sales copy. So that's the phases, man. That's what's to come.
that's awesome. I mean, I love that phased approach. I mean, it's a clear path on where you want to go. And it's not just, I want to have a huge team and a bunch of clients. I mean, it's a path on how you want to evolve to it. And that's huge. If you need beta testers on, you know, going through the course, more than happy to help out there.
You know it.
Yeah. And I love the correlation and seeing I post more, business seems to happen. It might not be a direct correlation. I mean, it's funny you say that because it's called attribution, and it's something that we always try to communicate with clients is you have video ads and banner ads and all that. They might not click and convert, but because they see the brand name, they might come through a different channel and all that. And it's just knowing that doing it leads to more business. And I think it really helps you tremendously because I love your posts. They're very, I mean, your work is displayed right there. And I think not having a website and stuff like that, if anyone ever hears about you, it's another outlet. They can kind of see your work before they reach out. And so you might not think it has directly led to more business, but I'd be willing to bet that there's probably been some new clients that checked out your social media and everything like that and goes, I really like the way this guy writes. And then it led them to reach out and everything like that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's kind of like practice what you preach, right? So if I'm going to be talking about how effective copywriting is and how effective sales copy is, I should be putting mine out there. And I'm always squirrely about posting my client stuff, you know, with some of the bigger brands. I'm sure in my contracts, it says like, I can't talk about them. So I have to be careful. And then some of the smaller brands too, like I don't necessarily want to put their stuff out there unless they want me to, you know, it's written for them. It's something they now own. And I don't know, I'm a little squirrely about it. Whereas if I'm posting copywriting secrets and tips and tricks, well, now I'm attracting the right people. And like you said, it's like credibility. And you're right, it is, it correlates. And maybe not directly is what I should say. It doesn't feel direct, but it definitely correlates. Yeah. And so, and it just makes me proud. Like I want people to, if they hear me on this or they hear me on another podcast or they see my brand out there, like I want them to go to my social media and be like, this guy knows what he's talking about. I want them to pull some free tips. And we're going to be shooting some lead magnet videos today. And like, that's free. Like some of my best stuff, I'd rather it be free. So people know it's worth the investment. Like if this is what I'm giving you for free, think about what you're going to get if you pay for it. So I'm getting more consistent, but I'm trying to be better, trying to get out of my head. And then again, just seeing objectively that it works.
Yeah. No, I love it. It's been fun to kind of just catch up and hear the evolution. I mean, you're crushing it. And I'm so glad that we got connected, and I'm so happy that, you know, we've been blessed to have some of your work hit our desk, and it's definitely made some business results, and it's great. And I mean, that being said, I mean, as we kind of wrap up, what are some last, I guess, parting words? What are things you're working on or anything else that you want to share?
I think I want to hit home EFA. Which is lead with emotion, reinforce with logic or function, and end with action. I think that's, if last time pain, gain, transformation stuck out, I would hope EFA sticks out to people, because again, all good sales copy fails without flow. And flow is going to be a big framework of what speakeasy sales copy is. So I'd really love to share that. You know, we talked about this Lincoln quote, which is,
I've actually never heard of that. And that is amazing. I love that quote.
It's so good. And I'll tell you, it has been proven that Lincoln might not have been the one who said it, if you go deep on the Googling, but the point is true. And Winston Churchill said something simple, which was basically like, if I'm going to speak for 2 minutes, I need 3 weeks to prepare. That's how I feel about copy. If you're going to write something that's, we'll say, two sentences, you better spend 20 minutes researching. Yeah. So the creative process and the copywriting process has to start with research. Your copy is only as good as your research. And if you research well, your copy's essentially done for you. Like I have moments where I feel like the research rips the keyboard out from in front of me, slides it over across the table and bangs out paragraphs for me, slides it back. And I'm like, boom, I know how to finish this. So that's what I would encourage like entrepreneurs and business owners to pull from this particular interview. And then, I mean, I'd love to just plug myself real quick, which is Speakeasy Sales Copy is the brand. By the time this is out, that site will probably be live and you'll be able to find me and it. And look, here's how I want to make my dent on the universe. I would say, I looked at the stats just the other day and it's like, I think it's like 40,000 entrepreneurs apply to get on Shark Tank every year. Yeah. Every year. Let's say 40,000.
I did not know that.
I know I'm close. It might be 35.
No, that's huge.
Yeah. So some crazy number, 35, 40,000 apply to get on Shark Tank every year. Less than 1,000 actually get on the show. And then a small percentage actually get deals that pan out. Why do I share that? Well, I want to help the entrepreneurs and the small businesses that don't get on Shark Tank, those 39,000 others that don't apply each year. And I want to help the ones who do get on and don't get a deal. Make the money they deserve, make the impact they deserve, get their business and their brand and their message and their product out into the hands of people that need them. Because every entrepreneur and business owner is like passionate about what they do and what they've created. And the problem I see is that their messaging is doing them a disservice. Like their copy and their messaging is not strong enough. It's not putting their best foot forward. And frankly, that's just them shooting themselves in their foot. So if I can help them avoid that, more engagement, more leads, more sales, just by writing better sales copy, game changer. And I know people need it. And I'm not saying it replaces funding, but you don't have to spend a fortune to get good at writing sales copy. Yeah. And it can make you a fortune. And more importantly, it can make your dent in the universe. So that's what I'm trying to do. Yeah. The more I see stats like that, and I see how many people out there are doing such amazing things, even during COVID, they're, you know, maybe they lost their jobs and they're transitioning online. Maybe they have an offline business and now they're venturing online. Maybe they've been online and they have something so incredibly amazing that they're completely passionate about and it's not selling. And it should be. I want to help those people. I want to help them get that to their product or service to the right people. So That's where I'm trying to do things different. That's why I'm trying to arm them with the tools so they don't have to come back to me and spend a fortune. And they don't have to risk spending their money on, you know, someone who isn't very good, or they frankly don't have the knowledge to know if it's good or not. And it's actually like terrible copy that's hurting them, or mediocre messaging when they have an extraordinary product. And, you know, I want to help them get to the next level. So that's kind of where I stand. That's why I want to plug myself. As far as moving forward, it's continuing to grow this thing. It's celebrating in April when this brand and this business goes live, because, you know, it's been in the works for almost a year, but it's been blood, sweat, and tears the last several months. And that's on top of a already jam-packed schedule. And there was a time where I was also trying to do this while I was at Petco working 12, 13 hours a day. Yeah. You know all about it. So for me, it's just like, that's going to be a really rewarding, a really big moment. And I think it's going to change the game. I think it's going to change the approach to copywriting for a lot of people. And it's going to help a lot of people, you know, make their impact.
No, I absolutely love that. We should connect and figure out how to attack Shark Tank, because it's funny. Like literally the last 2 years, I'll shoot messages or comment on LinkedIn if Mark Cuban posts or something like that. I'm like, dude, give me a shot. We will like not even charge anyone that you get a deal with. Let's. But I've never thought about all the people that apply that don't get the deal. Let's team up together and we can, I mean, cherry pick the ones that are just passionate, that have that good business model and everything. And hey, reach out. You have the copy that'll capture their attention and everything like that. And it's how can we help you get more sales? And you don't even have to give up 30-40% of your company either. I mean,
you have to give up any of your company. It's crazy, but it is. It's like you hear that, like you were floored, and I hope I'm right. I'm fairly certain it's 35 to 40K.
I'm sure that and the profit, I think, would be another good show that is driving good business and entrepreneurs to apply. And it's just, how can you reach them?
And it sucks too. It bothers me to think that like some people who do have an amazing product, service, business, brand, whatever, can't get it out in the world because they don't have money. Yep. Like money's what's holding them back. I know I was blessed. I come from a fairly well-off family, you know, middle class. Money was never like a huge concern. I didn't have to rack up debt or anything. There's a lot smarter people than me with a lot cooler products who I know I can help. And I would hope that, you know, if they don't have the funding or they don't have the money they need, they would turn to someone like you, to someone like me, to an agency, a copywriter, whatever, to get them to that next level, because it's so wildly possible and it's so like easy. And when you partner with the right people, it can do it. So I'm going to get off my pedestal on it now, but you get the idea. Yeah. And I think we could attack everyone. Maybe we can run some ads. Like, were you on Shark Tank? And get them in. And you said the profit. And I just got to think that, you know, a lot of people have made a lot of sacrifices to be entrepreneurs, and we can help them.
Absolutely. This has been great. I can't wait for 5 to 6 months down the road to have number three over here. Maybe you'll be, they'll be pretty close to having your little one. Yep. I mean, maybe we can have him or her on and I can bring Capri and it'd be good. I mean, we can kind of change the podcast to be more business and family. I mean,
business and babies. Business and babies.
That's why you're the copywriter. Yeah. Business and babies, right?
Alliteration.
There. Cool. Well, I appreciate the time and I look forward to continuing to see your explosive growth.
Thanks for having me, brother.
Appreciate it.